Blog Talk Radio.
Mais c'est tellement nouvelle, c'est sans mot française. Il faut que je lis toutes les paroles parce qu'elle vient de la paix il y a 3 jours. Elle a seulement 3 jours. Et c'est pour ça que j'ai les paroles ici. Mais je vous promets que depuis aujourd'hui, elle va être très populaire en France. Vous voyez. Je pense.
La mer. Quand on voit danser. À des reflets d'argent de la mer, des reflets changés sous la pluie. La mer, oh, si elle était. Mon corps est grand, avec les temps de subir la mer, je serai parti à l'infini pour
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Well, thank you for joining us. It is Monday, October 16th, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well. And we have a lot going on today, so let's get cooking.
Yes, indeed. Season 5, Episode 44, Tinker Tailor, Liar Spies is the topic tonight. The U.S. Congress is made up of citizens from varying backgrounds and unique stories. This one is no different. However, it can be argued that this is the most do-nothing Congress in the history of American politics. What they do, legislate, goes against everything America stands for. Does the majority really have their constituents in America at heart? Do they serve only their interests of corporations who line their pockets with super PAC donation cash? Do politicians still represent we the people or just care about the donor class? Should there be an age limit for Congress people and U.S. senators? Should that revolving door be sealed shut where when a politician leaves office, the special interest sets them up with a high-paying job with benefits for life. Should the Supreme Court of the United States be expanded from 9 seats to 15 seats? Should the Second Amendment be repealed or updated? We have a broken U.S. Congress, so broken that Republicans refuse to work with Democrats in compromise. What would you do if you were elected to such an august body? Our democracy is hanging on by a thread. Can we ever go back to normalcy, do you think? Thank you for sharing across all social media. Glad you could join the broadcast tonight. Call in, weigh in, say your piece at 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Visit our website, www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, so Lori, the first thing on the agenda tonight is Donald Trump and the judge setting a gag order on him, a limited gag order, because he went on Truth Social and put the judge on blast, you know. So I'm not sure it's a literal gag, but, you know, if it were a regular person, they'd be in jail awaiting trial or until a trial end, you know. So, I think this gag order is not enough. What do you think?
No, absolutely not. I don't think it goes far enough. I think that he should have to spend a little time cooling off in a jail cell, you know, maybe for a couple of weeks, you know, for a while. Maybe he'll understand what it means when someone tells you that you're not allowed to speak about certain things in public, but you feel that entitled that you do it anyway. Because you are who you are.
Exactly. But yet still we'll have Eileen Cannon, you know, in Florida. She is so incompetent, grossly incompetent, and yet still she's on the bench, you know, doing this case. We know full well what Eileen Cannon stands for, and, you know, she should be removed as being a presiding judge in that case, you know, so... I don't know. The justice system is very two-tiered, and it's unfair what is going on because, you know, she's showing favoritism towards Donald Trump and keep delaying the case, delaying the case, delaying the case. You know, America deserves better. I keep saying that every show and everything. You know, so before we take our calls, I have a clip from NBC News. Is it NBC? No, ABC News about that particular gag order and everything. And we take your calls, because we still have a call, 8110 error code in Michigan. We should get to that call, but let's clear this clip first.
Out of federal court here in Washington, D.C., the judge overseeing former President Trump's federal election interference case partially granted the government's request for a gag order, actually restricting the former president from making disparaging statements relating to this case. Our senior reporter, Catherine Falders, was inside the courtroom, joins us now with more. So, Catherine, just kind of break down what we know at this hour.
Yeah, Kara, it's a stunning moment because this order that the judge imposed is the most restriction that President Trump has had on his speech to date. You've heard him on the campaign trail, on the stump, his stump speech. He often refers to special counsel Jack Smith as deranged. He's called his staff thugs, for example. Those words were heavily used in this courtroom today with this order that this judge ultimately imposed. She said that the former president, that Trump cannot use those words as it relates to the special counsel, as it relates to his staff. He can't disparage witnesses, for example. He's allowed to broadly attack the government. He can say he believes that the investigation, for example, is politically motivated, but he also can't speak about former Vice President Mike Pence's role in January 6th, for example. And you know, when Trump attacks Pence, that is mostly what he focuses on. So it really was a stunning ruling from the judge, given that the government, of course, had asked for this limited gag order. She believes, and she said that this is more limited, given that he can still attack the Biden administration if he so wishes. He can say it's politically motivated. But the big question now becomes, what happens if he violates this? His top attorney, John Lauro, said in the courtroom today that whatever order was issued, that the Trump legal team would likely appeal it, for example. They haven't issued an appeal yet, But when do they do that? How fast does this get appealed? Does he violate it? And if he does violate it, what are the sanctions that the judge said she would impose? There's lots of questions here, and I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more from Trump's team on this order here today, Kira.
All right, so, you know, in light of all this gag order discussion, Trump and his lawyers, are they responding in any way?
Well, look, I think they haven't said anything yet. His lawyers are still inside this courthouse behind me. They said during oral arguments that they intended to appeal any order. I asked his top lawyer who was arguing, John Warrow, this after she issued the order. I said, do you intend to appeal this? He wouldn't say it outside of the courtroom, but said that what he said inside the courtroom still stands. He stands by those comments, so that likely signals an appeal. Something we're likely to see, I'm sure, from Trump's team, whether it's in the coming hours or the coming days.
All right. And then what's next, Catherine?
Look, I think we need to see the actual physical paper order from the judge and go through that. She said from the bench what she intends to do, so she still needs to issue that paper order. What's next, we'll probably see appeals, for example, what that appeal specifically looks like. We don't know yet, so we'll be looking for what the Trump team says on his language as it relates to the special counsel, as it relates to witnesses. So those are the next steps, at least at this point in this case.
All right, Catherine, thanks so much.
Yes, so there you have it. You know, the judge name and law kind of shook him. You know, she's been on the bench. She has a peace court and everything. She's doing an excellent job. You know, so Trump's rhetoric may get somebody killed. He needs to stop it. Somebody needs to put a muzzle on that man. He's crazy, you know. And
well,
the possible penalties if he's convicted, count one, up to 5 years in prison. Count two, up to 20 years in prison. Count three, up to 20 years in prison. Count four, 10 years in prison. So, you know, let's see where it go from here. Go ahead.
The other thing is, David, I did send you this article if you look down. It's probably the last one. He was at a rally this afternoon. He actually said in a statement there that he was willing to go to prison. He said, this is what he said. He was in Clive, Iowa. They're getting beaten very badly by me in the polls. They think the only way they can catch me is to stop me from speaking. They want to take away my voice and a judge. Gag order today. And the judge gave him a gag order. He said, did you hear that on speech? Which I believe is totally unconstitutional, is what she said. He's saying that Whatever she said today, he feels it's totally unconstitutional. Of course he does, you know. And then he went on to say that a judge gave a gag order. A judge doesn't like me too much. Her whole life is not liking me, but she gave me a gag order. You know what a gag order is? You can't speak badly about your opponent. But this is weaponry, all being done because Joe Biden is losing the election and losing very, very badly to all of us in the polls. He's losing badly. Then he declared, but what they don't understand is that I am willing to go to jail if that's what it takes for our country to win and become a democracy again, as the audience cheered. Oh. It's the exact
deplorable.
So he is trying to tell them basically that they're taking First Amendment rights, and you know he's not allowed to say what he wants to say, you know, because he thinks he's the front and he's going to win the election.
Yeah. He's arrogant. He's arrogant as usual. He has no concept of reality. He lives in an alternate universe and everything. This person been waiting a while and everything. They're from Michigan, 810 error code. So when you call in, say your first name and where you're calling from. And hello, caller. Welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight? Hello, Carla. Are you there? Yeah, I guess the car is being shy and everything. Yeah, so, you know, this is Donald Trump. Hi,
it's
hello,
Stephanie.
Welcome.
Hi,
hi Stephanie.
Stephanie.
How are
you? I'm just listening to you.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay. Yes,
well,
ma'am.
Hey, Bethany, what do you think about Trump having a gag order?
Oh, boy. He does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've been so busy lately with stuff around here. It's crazy. Yeah, I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Something else.
You think he's going to abide by it?
I doubt it. Do you think he will?
Me too.
No. I don't think he will.
Absolutely not. He's willing to go. He said he was willing to go to jail because he wants to uphold our democracy in our country.
Oh,
is that what
he doesn't surprise. He doesn't surprise me.
No, he's crazy.
He's
Are you doing okay, Bethany? There in Flint?
Oh, it's not too good here at all. It's not good at all. I don't know if people know, but terrible here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not funny either. Gentrifying the whole town, and they sold houses where people were living in them already, and it's just a nightmare. Hang on, I've been gone all day at different meetings. I'm heating up stuff in the oven because my microwave broke. And it's not been fun here at all. It's been a nightmare.
Yeah. Hope that you can eventually sell your home and move to a different area, you know.
I don't know where I could afford to go. Yeah. I'm broke, you know.
Yeah.
I wish I could. I wish I could go to like Shorts Creek or some little town or where you'd have to deal with bullshit all the time. It's terrible.
When there's a will, Bethany, when there's a will, there's a way.
Well,
that's
I don't want to go in a high rise. That's the only thing I could afford. I don't want to leave my house yet.
Yeah.
I got too much childcare.
You have to do what you do for yourself. I'm glad that you called in. I'm glad that you're listening. And I hope things go well for you. I do. I mean, I've known you for a long time. So.
My health isn't very good at all.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And so I just don't want to leave. I got so much junk, and how would I even get it out of here? What would I do with it? And a lot of things are family rooms. And
you look
old.
You
know, what are you going to do? I've asked people in the family, would you like this and that? And they say their houses are too crowded. So, what can you do?
Well, are you calling in, Bethany? I mean, if you want to stay and listen, you're welcome. If you have more comments, you're welcome as well. And I hope you take care of yourself.
Oh, thank you. So it's just a nightmare. They got ARPA funds here, but they're giving it all to rich people. And they're, instead of people wanted home repairs, and so far it's been a big fight. And I was hoping for some home repairs, too. And so it don't look like we're going to get any, people aren't going to get anything. And then just recently somebody bought a bunch of land up. Now tonight's this big school's on fire. And it's not even that. To me, it's not old compared to the schools I went to in Saginaw.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's called gentrification. I went to the meetings about it and talking about it years ago. I mean, but now it's coming to a rotation where it's just really evil, you know. And all these rich people here get all these tax breaks. They don't pay taxes. They don't even live. Flint gets on my nerves. They raise my taxes. Makes your house payment go up more. And
that's terrible. How they can raise your taxes when they know that the value of your home is going down instead of up? That's just sanity. You know,
well, why don't they charge the rich people taxes like they do us? They don't have to pay any taxes. They all live on Lake Benton.
I know. I hear you. I understand.
You know, they don't even live here.
Yeah.
So
I know.
They just come here and downtown is just like a place for outsiders to go slumming, if you ask me. I wouldn't go there. Paid me.
Yeah.
So they don't have to pay taxes. Oh, they got this maker space in Flint. It costs tons of money to join it. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 501c. Mm-hmm. How can you be a restaurant considered like a 501c? How can you be a 501c when you don't pay, when you're making money? I don't believe, when I was growing up, we paid taxes to what the people owned as a whole, not to rich people.
Mm-hmm.
We pay taxes to what rich people own here. It blows my mind.
Yeah.
But I'm not in this new world. I'm in the old world.
I know.
Yeah, we can thank Ronald Reagan and strip down economics for that, really. You know, when he came in, tax cuts to the wealthy, and it went to George Bush, and George W. Bush, I should say. And then Trump gave the biggest tax cut of all, and they still wanted the tax cuts. It's like, they haven't learned since Herbert Hoover days. I didn't have a name for it back then. But
we pay taxes on what rich people own here. It just blows my mind. Why would we pay taxes to what rich people? They're bringing this plant here. They're going to do a tax capture. They want 80%.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vulture company from out of New York City. They go to Rust Belt cities and they get a bunch of property and crap. And I went to the meetings about it. They want 80% break and they want a tax capture where the people are going to pay for this millionaire company shit. And this doesn't make sense to me. If you got, it's like they used our blight money to blow up buildings downtown that weren't even condemned to build for-profit housing. How can you do that shit? It just blows my mind what's going on in the world.
It sounds very corrupt. It sounds very corrupt.
Yeah.
Well, Bethany, thank you so much for calling in.
Well, I thought I'd listen in.
If you want to just listen, that's just great. And I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Yeah, I'll listen to you.
Okay, honey.
Yeah, that was Bethany calling from Flint, Michigan. Something has to be done about Flint, you know, because it's been over a decade now since the water crisis, where Republican Governor Rick Schneider knew what was going on 2 years before, and he covered it up, a failed cover-up. It came to the public light. He's suffering more consequences, and the big shots, the big wigs, suffering more consequences. And as Bethany said, there's gentrification in Flint. The rich people coming in, absorbing, property and refurbishing, and taxes going up to people who want to stay there and who don't have a choice, because they can't move to other places, it's a greed of capitalism. And when anybody tells me, "Oh, capitalism made this country great," no, it's choking regular people, so I'm doing them middle class and everything. We can do better in this country. You know, why not spread the wealth around? You know, the trickle-down economics haven't worked since Herbert Hoover days. You know, and keep making the same mistake every 20 or 30 years or so where, we elect a bunch of Republicans who don't know economics, who claim that they're, pro-defense, pro-police, they know what they're doing with the economy. But when you look at the record, every Democratic president since JFK has had higher numbers of employment compared to Republicans. But who knows economics really, not Republicans. They're fast, and they talk a good game, and they have a well-oiled machine in the Republican National Committee, and they don't care. They only care about corporations and people who help them. So I hope people learn in 2024 that Republicans are not the answer to, all problems. Biden and Democrats have shown what they can do. They've laid out their agenda and everything, which is inclusive. It leaves out nobody. They want to have immigration reform. They want to have gun control reform. They want to have, better public schools, do away with the prison industrial complex. It's a leash and a muzzle and a military industrial complex. All those good things and help the people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, for some reason, some people out there, especially in the rural areas, it's like, oh, yeah, my grandpappy, my grandmother was a Republican, so, hey, I'm a Republican. And Trump is not a problem. He's a symptom of the problem, And, it fester up all these years, from JFK days where Fred Cork, the father of Charles and David Cork, pumped money into different things to bring down JFK. You know, the Heritage Foundation is not a good foundation. You know, they're everything to undermine American democracy. We need to stop them. We need to, you know, rearrange a Supreme Court or have more Supreme Court justices on the bench, not 9, but 15 and 10 to none. And hopefully in Joe Biden's second term, God willing, when you win, he expands that. You know, hopefully we'll have a Democratic Congress in both the House and the Senate where that can be possible. You know, because it's total foolishness what's going on now, where a lot of people are suffering. You know, the COVID-19 pandemic just caused chaos. People losing their job, can't pay rent, you know, can't pay utility bills, can't send people, you know, kids to school, can't buy food. You know, it's just, and Republicans did nothing in helping people, especially in Florida and red states, you know. So we can do better than this, and we will do better than this. When, you know, we're voting Democrats in 2024, not only on the federal level, but all across the board. Okay, so the call, you know, Bethany is on the call, and she's listening. And, you know, hang in there, Bethany, and people are friends and other places that, you know, need help, because Joe Biden is working his ass off to help, you know, the less affluent and trying to expand the middle class. Republicans don't have a solution. So we'll have another call here. Hello, Carla. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Oh, is it me? I thought somebody else was on.
Hello.
Michigan. How are you guys doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good. Can't complain.
Yeah, that, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. There's no middle class anymore. That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for the young kids. College is ridiculously expensive. They can't afford to buy a car. Forget getting a mortgage. It's insane. And it's happening up here in our, you know, we're in vacation land up here and retirement communities. I mean, the old folks come up here and get their condos and cottages and stuff. But they're building, like, downtown Traverse City, these big apartment buildings, and the condos cost a fortune. And the city said, oh, but you have to have some workforce apartments. And they give them sort of a break, but only for 5 years, and then they'll up the price to, you know, $600,000, you know? And that's not workforce apartments, but it's a scam, and they keep on doing it over and over again. I mean, they are right now up here doing big a building complex for affordable living, really affordable, by Jimmy Carter's group, you know, Habitat for Humanity. And they're building tiny houses, duplexes, and apartments, a big area. Just outside of downtown in Traverse, so they can go there. And we actually, in Frankfurt, got two small houses, and they tore down the Lions building that they don't use anymore, the Lions Club, and they're putting up 12 two-bedroom apartments that is affordable for workers because they can't afford to live here. Nurses, teachers. They can't get them because they can't afford the houses or apartments.
It makes no sense.
But listen, can I ask you a question? There are currently, where's the statistic? It's probably more now. 268 members in the current Congress who are millionaires or even more, you know, in Congress. Do lawmakers really represent the people who elected them? Because they're living in a bubble, being millionaires and being getting the congressional perks like security, getting their congressional pay, and every other day is a vacation, you know, free dental, free health, you know, all the perks you can think of, a cushy pension afterwards. You know, do you think that should be cut out, really? Because that money could be allocated elsewhere. and helping people.
Yeah.
You know, because
I said this before, it was the Supreme Court mm-hmm. that screwed it all up because they let corporations, our people too, and they can donate all they want to the Congress. So what does mm-hmm. the Congress mm-hmm. do? Whatever the big corporations want. They don't have mm-hmm. any regulations mm-hmm. on pollution or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
The OSHA and all that, they're trying to cut everything. You know, it started with Trump and it's continuing it. That's the first thing that should be changed. They should not mm-hmm. be able to, corporations should not donate to congressmen. And go back to the day when we were in business, $2,400 a year per person in Congress. That's it. You can't get – each corporation can only donate $2,400 per congressperson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yes,
and leave it the people's house. You know, Congress is supposed to be for the people, not for the corporations and themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you think about it –
Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
Sorry,
I'm going to
finish it.
Okay.
Well, these people around here, they better start learning how to nurse their babies and use real diapers. Mm-hmm. People, mm-hmm. how in the heck they're all using stinking formula. I don't know how they can afford it.
Can't afford diapers.
I mean, I'm back to eating like we did. You know, just beans. Make beans all the time. Navy mm-hmm. beans in a bag.
And, child care is so expensive. My kid was paying $600 a month for a two-hour after-school program. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How can you afford that?
Well,
you know, and the other
before you have kids.
The other thing that we need to think also is, When these Congress people, senators, et cetera, when they go in, you know, and they start accepting all this, you know, all this donor money, you know, no one else can. Let's say you are really smart, you understand politics, you know how the government works, you could be a great speaker, you have all the characteristics to be a great politician, okay, but you don't have the money to run because you're just a common person. It's become a game. If you don't have the money to run, that's why the same people are elected all the time, because they can stay in office because they can afford to. But if you're somebody that's, you know, has the fire inside of you and you want to change things and you know how to do it and you're intelligent and everything else that goes along with a congressperson, a representative, it doesn't matter, a mayor, it doesn't matter what you are. I'm just saying it's almost impossible to do because it costs millions of dollars just for the groundwork
mm-hmm.
and to do the advertising and the TV commercials and, you know, your social media. You're talking millions
mm-hmm.
of dollars. Who's got that kind of money to do that? Not
and
many
then
people.
To
you know,
stay there and to get reelected, you got to do the bidding of the corporations that are giving you the money, or you're going to be tossed out
right.
if you don't
exactly.
do what
yeah.
they want.
Exactly.
Yeah, perfect example
you know.
Is Kristen Sinema in Arizona, where as soon as she went in there, Big Pharma, Big Tobacco, the gun lobby, everybody who's big and the who's who in corporations, you know, put money in her coffers for re-election. And, you know, she lied to get there and know she's an independent. And that race is a toss-up, really, because it's so close in Arizona. Ruben Gallego, the congressman, he's running for the Democratic nomination and has outraised the incumbent 7 times more. You know, and just a couple of days back, I think 3 or 4 days back, the crazy person who claimed that the governorship was stolen from her in Arizona, Carrie Lake, has, you know, thrown her
mm-hmm.
hat in the ring for the Republican nomination. So that race should be interesting. You know, and the
mm-hmm.
thing about it, when you come to the United Kingdom, there's a certain threshold. They don't go over $250,000 in campaign contributions. A car
like from corporations, but they have to, you know, take money, you know, raise money by different means, you know. So mm-hmm. there's a cap on it. We need to go back to those days in the United States where we have a cap on certain spending limits. And I find it ridiculous that when you run for city commissioner or county commissioner anywhere, you know, if you don't have $1 million from the get-go, then there's no chance in hell you can win a campaign. You know, it's a county commission race, a local race, you know?
Right.
Why is it so expensive?
I know. And England also has a time limit to put, to run your campaign. It's only 4 months. And then I think the TV ads, everybody gets a free so many, you know, second ads and so many of them mm-hmm. equally. So, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. they're spread out during the 4 months. So mm-hmm. you don't need the money for all this stuff. And that's mm-hmm. the way it should be here. Limit the money because money is evil and everything goes to crap, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Big pharma, big oil and all that. Are bought, mm-hmm. these guys are bought and paid for. And they should mm-hmm. not be able to invest, their money has to be in a blind trust. And what do you want to bet that when they leave office, they're not all millionaires? They came in poor and they leave millionaires on our dime.
Exactly. Exactly.
That, you know?
Mm-hmm. They all do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they think that we're all dumb. You know,
and of course they're not going to change the law because they write the laws.
No, the law's made for them.
mm-hmm.
You know, the rules are...
I mean,
are,
hey,
they
should start living on $700 and $800 disability checks per month, like the veterans going mm-hmm. through, you know, the elderly or the less fortunate, you know, that they want to get rid of Social Security Republicans. They try to mm-hmm. privatize it first. And that failed miserably, so they're trying to get rid of it altogether. And Rick Scott in Florida, the U.S. Senator, former governor, he's claiming mm-hmm. that Democrats lying when they say, oh, you know, Republicans want to get rid of Social Security. He said it's in the pamphlet. It's in their manifesto in the last 2022 election. They want to get rid of Social Security. And this man
that everybody paid into while you're working.
It.
Yeah.
What they need to do is put the level that you contribute up because millionaires need to contribute because they take the check. What do you want to bet mm-hmm. that any of them turn down their Social Security and Medicare? What do you want to bet? None of them.
Mm-hmm. No way.
And they need to up the rate. You know, I forget what the level is that you have to contribute, 150 mm-hmm. or 1,000 or something like that. These people are making billions, mm-hmm. and they don't pay nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of billions, you know who should get taxed the most? These, you know, mega churches that shouldn't talk politics on their pulpit, but they're leading the flock and the congregation to vote Republican mm-hmm. en masse because of the whole wedge issues of abortion, gun control. There's one church in New York, maybe many churches across the country, where you can bring in your AK-47 and your AR-15 to be blessed by the preacher. That's madness. Mm-hmm. Could you picture Jesus or any of the disciples with an AR-15 or AK-47 or some handgun? That's preposterous. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That's not a church. That's a cult. A stupid cult.
That's a cult. Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't care what.
This is kitchen.
I don't care what.
This is Kitchen Politics 1-2-3. We're talking about Tinker Tailor Liar Spies and how Congress mm-hmm. don't really care and full of millionaires. And should Congress, mm-hmm. You know, how can they fix the brokenness in Congress? So we'll have a next call lined up, but make your point, Laurie.
I was just going to say, I think that churches mm-hmm. need to pay taxes. I'm sorry. They make enough profit. You know, mm-hmm. if they can buy, you know, private jets and live in million-dollar homes, you know, and live the lifestyle of the rich and famous, then they should be paying taxes. There is no reason that they should not be paying taxes, bottom line. I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be paying.
Exactly.
Just like everybody else in this world and, you know, in our country. I'm sorry. And mm-hmm. until that's fixed, you know, and the corporations start paying their fair share, we're always going to have a deficit. Always. Always going to have
mm-hmm.
a deficit.
Exactly.
It's just not right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 515-605-9802 is the number to call. Say your first name, where you're calling from, and turn off all background music. Visit kitchenpolitics123.com, and we'll have Facebook pages as well. You can join the group, and you can go to the community page. We'll have a lot of things, a lot of information there and everything. Next caller from Michigan. This is Elaine calling from Michigan. Hello, Elaine. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
Good evening. I can't add anything because I rested my eyes and I fell asleep, and I just got up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So I'm going to for a while.
Yeah, we're talking about the negligence of Congress, where when they come in as regular folks, they leave out as millionaire. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene received $10,000 from McCarthy ahead of the vote to keep him a speaker. This is from the RawStory.com website. So Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican from Georgia's 19th District, received donation from former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Political Action Committee, ahead of her vote not to remove him as Speaker of the House of Representatives. In an FAC fundraising report released on Sunday, yesterday, McCarthy's Majority Committee PAC is listed on 2 of 6 PAC donations made to Greene's congressional campaign between July 1st and September 30th. It's 2 $5,000 donations were dated July 19th, just weeks before Congressman Gates from Florida motioned to vacate the chair that resulted in McCarthy's ouster. In all, Greene reported to receive $15,000 from the PAC during the reported period. So with this political action committee and these super PACs out there, caused by the Supreme Court, when it's corporations or people and can give limited or unlimited donations, and anybody can give, and it's dark money where you cannot say who give. That means Russia can give, China could give, people not with an interest in the United States can give. And with that money, you know, because they give her that money, you do their bidding. We'll see a perfect example with Bob Menendez, U.S. Senator from New Jersey, where he was trying to lobby for Egypt, a foreign government. Mm-hmm. You know, should we take out the PAC and super PACs?
Okay, oh, yeah. Now you got me up to date of what's going on. No, I think that all has to go back to the way it was. This is where all the trouble has started. You know, I remember, and it wasn't that long ago, I remember you had to list who you were, what you did, and I think we're going back to the late 80s, early 90s, I think even the regular person was only allowed to, no, I better not quote because I'm not sure on it, but there was restrictions even for a personal donation. And then all that changed when, I remember when they said that corporations were people too, and that's when it all changed. It's wrong.
I mentioned that before. It was $2,400 limit on businesses contributing to Congress people in office. And the people that were running had to list who they got their money from. It wasn't dark money. They had to report it.
Well, there was ways even back then that they kind of snuck around dark money, but it wasn't as bad as it is now. By the way, speaking of contributions, Santos has been charged with taking people's names off of donation lists and then going in somehow and hacking and stealing money from them. Can anybody shed any light on that story?
Yes, what he did. What he did was, you know, the people who contributed to him, he assumed their identity using their credit card and debit cards and, you know, keep funneling their money to his campaign to get elected. And just because they investigated and saw, you know, the irregularities and everything, he got called out on it and now he was charged. I don't know how many charges that were filed, but he's in a world of trouble here, you know, because that's stealing basically, and you know the so-called Family Values Party, you know, refused
to give him an ethics investigation. They've refused to have a vote to kick him out of Congress because basically George Santos lied from start to finish on his resume. He's not who he said he was, but yet still, they're still backing him. You know, the Democrats have 212 seats. Republicans have a little bit more. I don't remember how many. And 435-member congressional seats that are available. You know, so Republicans just talk. You know, they're just obsessed with, you know, getting people's lives and, you know, you know, not doing what is right. They said they do what's right, but, you know, the records show differently. It's disgusting, you know. And I don't know if anybody ever seen the video of Congresswoman Nancy Mace, Republican from District 2, South Carolina, the drinking game. I implore people to view that on YouTube and Google it, if you can't find it on YouTube. It's the most disgusting thing. And make sure you don't eat before you watch it, you know. That was so disgusting what I watched, that, that 30-second video. You know, that's family values. That's, that's gross, beyond gross.
Well, this inside trading, that's another way that they go into Congress being poor or average, and they end up being super rich. That has got to stop. That has just plain got to stop. I mean, you know, if we get caught inside trading, we go to prison. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Martha Stewart went to prison because for inside trading. So what makes them so much above the law?
Yeah, well, you know, they're homeless people.
Look at what we're dealing with now, you know.
You know, I don't care if they're Democrat or Republican or Independent or Yahudi. Wrong is wrong, and it's got to stop on both sides of the fence. But right now, it's the conservatives. I don't care what law is being broken, fractured, or destroyed. It's being done by the conservatives. It's getting to be disgusting. You know what? I proudly wear the label liberal.
So do I.
Exactly. Yes.
So do I.
Okay, well, the next caller, I think 734 error code will get to his name shortly. Season 5, episode 44, Tinker Taylor, Liar Spy. And you know that Taylor spelled T-A-Y-L-O-R, not Taylor like, you know, the seamster. You know, Taylor as in Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's in the middle of everything.
Mm-hmm.
She spoke about Jewish spatial lasers. And with this war against Gaza, the media asked her about these lasers. But we'll get to that in a moment. But Donald Trump shares spoof video of himself smashing Biden with a golf ball. Isn't that a direct threat to the President of the United States? What the hell is going on with that man? Is he that crazy? Well, rhetorical question. We all know he's crazy. But let's get this call in. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. Go ahead, Lori.
I was just going to say, I think he needs to be locked up. He really does, because I think everything is getting to him, finally. I think things are starting to sink in, and I truly believe that he is lashed out in every way possible, and he's trying to cause a rip in everything. You know, why would he show a video? Why would he share a video of him smashing President Biden's head with a golf ball? Why would he do that? What would do that? That wants to be President of the United States. It makes me want to throw up. It really does.
And he thinks he's running against Obama, Hussein.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
He keeps on saying that. I don't understand. I mean, he's losing it completely. He's insane, he's mean, he's stupid, and now he's going crazy.
I think what's happening to him is that he is finally realizing that
he's going to prison.
Yes.
He knows
he says he's not afraid to go to prison because, you know, he's not afraid to go to prison because he is saving our democracy. That's what he's doing, right? Oh, no, it's not for the 91 counts against him, you know, trying to overturn our government, you know. Really? Come on.
Do you think MAGA supporters, cultists, can be deprogrammed? Hillary Clinton said there needs to be deprogramming of these people. Is it far too late for that, or is there still hope?
Some, yes. I believe for some, yes. Unless he is locked up and put away and made to have the public see on a daily basis that this man, what he did and the lies that he told, and that they all got brainwashed by him, spooked by him, however you want to put it, bamboozled by him, however they understand, this is what happened to them. And until he's in prison and they see what he did and why he did it, it's not going to change. These people think that he's some kind of messiah. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
Except the only logical explanation is that they are brainwashed. The only one.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make money and weren't prosperous under his regime. I mean, so where do they think that he's such a hero? I don't get it.
Because
I mean, the country had a hard time. I mean, the first thing he did was give, you know, $1 trillion plus to the corporations.
Yeah.
He never cut the normal people's taxes. He didn't give them thing. He told them to drink bleach. Oh, by the way, they're suing the guys that were talking about take bleach during the COVID. They're going to prison. Yeah,
good.
They're getting them.
Good.
They should add that, you know, him to the mix right there.
Yes, he should.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked.
Because he was saying, drink bleach.
Yeah, I never will forget that statement. That was mind-boggling and mind-blowing, to say the least, you know. So Donald Trump posted a spoof video late Friday night that showed him striking a golf ball and it flying all the way to a President Joe Biden event where the fake ball hits his 2024 opponent on the head and causes him to stumble. And then he goes on to say, another great shot. Really? That is disgusting.
How low can you go?
Could be President of the United States. Think about that, people. Think about
it's
that.
It's ridiculous. It's awful.
He has
I'm going to play a clip soon. I'm going to play a clip soon of Trump supporters claiming that God sent him. You know, God chose him. He's a chosen one, whatever. You know?
Please.
The second coming of Christ, basically. Yeah, so, you know, we'll have a new call on the line, and we'll talk to that person soon enough. But enjoy this clip. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life, and hopefully people wake up.
Hey, Lee Black Dad here. I'm outside the Civic Center, Lake Charles, where hundreds of people have been showing up since about 7 o'clock this morning. Now, President Donald Trump doesn't talk until 7 o'clock tonight, but people have just been coming out here showing their support. Now, we spoke to a lot of his supporters, and it's fair to say that people are not happy with the Democratic and Republican Party. I got a chance to talk to a group of women who support the president who made their own church, which say, Jesus is my savior, Trump is my president. And directly on the back of their church, it says, he is the chosen one. Now, again, the president is not speaking until 7 o'clock tonight. I continue to be outside the Civic Center here in Lake Charles, talking to folks, talking to supporters to hear what they'd like to hear from the president tonight. We'll send it back to you.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
It is.
You know, this is what we're dealing with, and these people vote every election, whether midterm, whether off presidential year, every election you can think of, locally, statewide, and federally. So we have to make sure we register as much people, like Taylor Swift has rightly said, and make sure they go and vote. You know, make a plan, as Joe Biden usually says. because there's no way in hell the democracy can survive Donald Trump or any Republican goes back into office.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's madness. Madness is going on here, man. We need to do better as a country.
We sure do.
So we'll have a new call on the line. Hello, caller from Michigan, 734 Air Code. Welcome. What's cooking tonight?
Hey, everybody. It's me.
Oh, hi, Eric. How are you?
Eric, hey.
Elaine, how are y'all? All right, all right. Susie's still there. How you doing?
Thank you.
Good.
Good, good.
Good, good.
Good. Elaine, good to hear from you.
Good. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so everybody, as usual, I'm getting ready to give my epic breakdown of what I think is going on, and generally I know that a lot of people enjoy that, so if you guys are ready for that, I'd like to start.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what a lot of Democrats have to remember. Going back to, again, the only way that we can really put it in a perspective, I hate to keep taking everybody down this painful path, but we have to remember what happened in 2016. Here's what we have to remember. When he first ran, and this is why I have to stress the importance of understanding what is really populism. Now, sometimes populism is used for good purposes. Other times it's used for bad. Obviously, in Trump's case, he ran a fake populist campaign, which was bad for most of us. We have to remember that there's a good deal of the country, and that's why I said I'm going to release my 15-state strategy by next weekend, because this is where most of the independent voters are at. And we have to think about what they felt in 2016 and what was going through their minds then and what goes through some of their minds now. Now, luckily, Trump seems to have lost a lot of that base, and I hope he continues to lose it, and I hope they stay gone and stay away from him, and that'll inch them closer to Biden. We have to remember that one of the biggest things that he ran on in 2016 was going against outsourcing, job outsourcing, which a lot of presidents, going back to Reagan, probably even before that, have done. Now, what they didn't realize and what they didn't see, maybe a number of them saw it, is one, they – so as I stated, Obama had outsourced about 87,000 jobs over 8 years. Trump outsourced over 212,000 in 4 years. He also ran this campaign about how bad it was that we're going into these other countries, and we got to get out of Iraq, and we got to get out of Afghanistan. So basically taking the left-wing populist take and putting that on the other side. Of course, people like me and many others here didn't believe that to be true or that he was actually believing what he was saying. The reason why a lot of those people voted for him, outside of the racist, the sexist, the bigots, and the xenophobes, is it was the rhetoric that got those people. There's a reason why. As much as it pains me to know it and it pains anybody to hear it, there's a reason why a good portion of America voted for Obama twice that also voted for Trump, and that those, a lot of those same people also voted for Bush and Clinton. So I think what he's doing is that rhetoric, he's trying to use it again, and it's working on some people. It's not working on others, and I think what they're holding on to is the fact that because he speaks in a way that's not politician-esque, that they feel that they have essentially nowhere else to go. Again, some people have stayed away from him because of the indictments and the charges and the sexual assault allegations and things like that, and things of that nature. This is why I say it is so beyond important that we go to these states, whether it be in person or virtually, to talk to these people. And we got to try our best to not really trash him because it seems like a hate campaign. That's why I say the Democrats need to invest into a marketing firm and really talk about the accomplishments and achievements of the Biden-Harris White House. We have to tell them that, hey, the reason why you got these tens of millions of dollars invested into these small businesses is not because of what Trump said, but because of what Biden did. And he did that by signing the American Rescue Plan Act and by passing things like the COVID relief package, passing the CHIPS Act, which onshored over 800,000 manufacturing jobs. We have to let these people know, hey, I understand you're in a tough spot and you may be conflicted and you don't know where to go, but here's the achievements of this president and this vice president. And if you feel that this is insufficient, then, you know, we'll continue to stand by you and to help you out. We're letting auto workers know, hey, we stand by UAW. We're letting you know, hey, we stand by minimum wage increase. We stand by expanded access to affordable health care. We stand by again, the CHIPS Act, which brought back manufacturers. So we stand by manufacturing workers. Governor Whitmer's doing a great job of that. She's, you know, going around and talking to these different companies. So, and I know many other Democratic governors are doing the same thing, you know, Newsom and Kelly and Hochul and all them. So, you know, that's the one thing that I have to continue to emphasize and really stress. And, again, there's a part of me that is only a little bit sympathetic in the sense that I know that there are some people out there who either are voting for Trump or are leaning towards him, but those specific people may not be racist and sexist. In their heads, they actually don't feel like, because they don't pay attention to politics as much as we do. So some of these people really just don't know. That's the crowd that I try to sympathize with, I try to do my best with. I think those are the people that we should, try to hit best. I mean, anybody here, what do you think of this breakdown? Let's start. Susie, what do you make of all this?
You're right. You know, I don't know how you change people's minds, though. They're like brainwashed. We got to fix Congress. I don't know how they're going to do that, like we were saying before. They make the rules, and they're the ones that ruined everything. So how do you change that?
Well, you know what, and here's why I say, and maybe if it comes to this point, I'm going to try my best to see if I can devise a plan that goes outside of the 15-state strategy, because it's also about talking to Democrats who feel that they're starting to get complacent because they're saying, well, Biden, he shouldn't lose his race. He should be all right. Well, the same people said that about Hillary Clinton, which is why a lot of them didn't vote for her in 2016, because they assumed that she had it in the bag. We know that her opponent is the biggest moron to ever run for president in the history of a long time. And I just think that if people get too comfortable with that, it encourages people to not vote, because all it says is, well, we're just going to win. There's no voting. What people fail to realize, too, and I've actually forgot to mention this on the last few times on the show, is that you have Republican commentators and conservative activists. They're actually strategizing on the ground, and they're actually – finding ways to get more people out to vote, more so than we care to admit or realize. Every commentator, conservative pundit that you know of, whether you watch them or not, I don't watch most of them anymore, Ben Shapiro, Candace Owens, all these people, they're connecting with these groups on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat, TikTok, all these places. And so that's why I say one thing I don't think they have gotten through yet is a 15-state strategy, which is why I've devised it. Elaine, what do you make of this?
I think you're right on the money. We've got to start educating people, because a non-educated populace is falling for all the lies that the conservative media, which is both social media and written media, is giving people. I'll give a good example of that. Is they one of the comments that's being made about this strike. They should go back to work and sit down and negotiate. Well, I think it should be made very clear that for months before a strike was called, all of the people went to union meetings and talked about what they would like the companies to do. And there's a good possibility the companies wouldn't have given as much if they had sat down with the workers. But they didn't do that. They played hardball. They were more interested in giving their CEOs $20,000 an hour. So now you've got conservative commentators out there saying, well, they should go back to work.
No, they should not.
No, but see, people don't know that there was negotiations going on before the strike was called for months.
They didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, we don't make enough money here. You know, our pensions are taken away. We've given concessions for years upon years. They didn't wake up one morning and all of them all together just decided, oh, let's go on strike tomorrow. That isn't what they did.
And the other thing that the average person, they said, well, the UAW, they just don't know what they're doing. The UAW, they've got it down to three people. I'm not talking about everybody. They figure the UAW is being run by three people. No, it's not. The UAW is being run by every single person that pays union dues. Mm-hmm. Period. They have meetings.
They all vote.
They have little meetings, little caucuses, whatever you want to call it, monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And they should go to them, which nowadays they're starting to get better participation. And they have been going to them. So it isn't just a couple people out there dictating. The popular they've got to know the truth. And that is where we've been kind of slipping up on that. We have got to take and preach the truth. And Eric, you're right on the money by saying that you're gonna keep preaching the truth.
And you know what? Thank you for that. And let me also add this too, because here's another thing we have to. And again, the only reason I keep bringing this up is because there's still a lot of voters out there who are conflicted and undecided on who to vote for in this election. And a lot of these same people are also conflicted in many elections, whether it be, you know, Gore versus Bush or Obama versus McCain or Romney or Hillary versus Trump or whatever the case might be. The whole thing about it is this, is that, so just like one of the CEO guys, Sean Fain, who was on, I believe it was CNN, I think he was talking to either Jake Tapper or one of them on there, and he outright said, like, hey, we, you know, Biden and Harris at least came here to support us, and they said they stand by our people, and they're going to negotiate to give our people a higher wage. And while he was asked about Trump, and he said Trump didn't even show his face, he wasn't even here during the whole time he was president. And now that he wants to run for president again, now he's showing his face, but instead he's not saying anything that's in support to them. Trump is out there lying to the public and saying he spoke with UAW workers as though he was standing by them, when in reality he was speaking against them by criticizing them for wanting higher wages. And so the thing about it is I'm not a Republican and I'm not conservative, so I don't hang in Republican circles, so I don't know what the Republicans' plan is in regard to UAW workers, because they think that it means, well, they're just going to just not work and just not get paid, or they're not going to – well, you know what? Here's the thing. You have workers that have been working for a long time, and they put their blood, sweat, and tears into the things that they do for the work they put in, not just for money to spend on themselves, but, you know, these people have families and kids to take care of, and – you have Democrats out there saying, yeah, we want you to get higher wages, which is why we stand by you. The Republicans are saying, no, you should stop striking. We don't want you to have higher wages. And just like Ronald Reagan said, if you strike, you're fired. And I just don't know why a lot of those people aren't getting that. The only thing I know is they're going off of what they feel is the current vibe. And right now they feel that they think Trump is the real deal just because he's supposedly saying what's on his mind. Again, this is why I said a 15-state strategy would really go handy with a case like this. And, I mean, every election that we have, it just gets tougher and tougher, and it's more and more of a nail-biter. Biden versus Trump was way closer than even Hillary and Trump was. And, of course, Biden still won the popular vote by a much higher margin than they all did. I just say that right now, we just have to get in the heads of these people. And Susie, like you said, it's hard to change people's minds. Believe me, that's something that I struggle with.
You know what I don't understand, like UAW and the, you know, the manufacturers. Henry Ford priced his cars so his workers could afford to buy the cars. And now the workers can't afford to buy their cars. They gave up their pension, their health care, and they're making squat. They haven't had an increase in, what, 13 years, something like that? It's ridiculous. Yeah, so, you know, how do they figure? Pardon?
Henry Ford was no angel.
No.
He made his cars maybe affordable at the beginning. But after he started getting the taste of money, he was no angel. He was absolutely a tyrant to his workers.
Well, I know, but that's how he started, I'm saying. The very beginning, he priced the cars so his workers could afford it. And the UAW president said, our workers cannot afford to buy the cars they build. So there's something wrong somewhere in there.
Well, we have got to stress this, that right after the pandemic eased up and the world opened up, every stinking person who had a business or something to sell doubled, tripled, and quadrupled their prices, not just in the United States, but all over the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what the conservatives conveniently forget to tell the people, their people.
Mm-hmm.
They keep saying, well, if you think the cars are expensive now, wait until you see what happens after the strike. After all, they can't get 38%. They don't say that it's 38% is over a period of 2, 3, 4, 5 years, however long the contract is. They don't say that it's been over 10 years since these workers have gotten anything. They don't say that the retirees aren't getting their COLA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what?
There's a lot more into those negotiations than just the worker on the line today. There's also the retirees that gave their blood, sweat, and tears. And
well,
their joy.
You know what? Here's the other thing.
And
here's the other policy. Here's the other policy that I also have to stress, because, again, this is the problem with the Democrats, is that they're not – the top Democrats are not the best when it comes to messaging. Yes, they're better on policy. We all know that. But, again – another thing that was done by the Biden-Harris administration was a ruling by the National Labor Relations Board that increased the cap of overtime pay. And so I think off top, I could be wrong on this, but I think it was Ronald Reagan who put in.
You're right. I remember that.
Well, we have to remember this.
You're right.
I think it was the Ronald Reagan administration that put in a rule that anybody who was making $35,000 a year or under is eligible for overtime pay, and anybody making above that wasn't. They talked about the Biden administration reversing the Reagan rule, and I think that's the one they were talking about. The Biden administration raised that cap from $35,000 to $55,000. Now, personally,
you know,
I don't think there should be a – yeah.
Yeah. You know, Eric, I was
well,
just
going to say –
well, you
know what? Personally, I don't think there should be a cap on it. I don't think there should be a cap on it. I think whatever you work,
exactly,
you can get paid back. But –
if you want to work extra and you can use the money, who cares if you're making $35, $55, $75, $85? Who really cares? It's you're the one that's working, you're the one that's producing, so why shouldn't you get paid overtime if they're going to offer it to you? That is insane to put a cap on overtime. When these people make so much money, it's ungodly. You know, they make so much money because they're so greedy, but yet they want to keep the middle class, they want to keep their thumbs on them, because God forbid if they get a few bucks, you know, and live a little bit better life, they won't need them maybe. So,
oh, their logic is that they give them a salary of, say, $40,000, and then they work them to death. They're putting in all these extra hours that they're making money off of the overtime, because the guy's working a lot more hours because he got more base pay, but he's being abused by having to work way over that.
And also, I was reading in a thread, because I was in a chat the other day, and it had to do with when the UAW president, Mr. Fain, when he was talking, and they were saying in this thread, I was reading it, not commenting, just reading, and the workers that are still in the plants, because their plant is not on strike yet, were saying that they are being forced to work overtime, and they can't take it anymore because they're exhausted, you know. So, how fair is that?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lori.
They can't turn down the overtime because, you know, then, you know, the supervisor or whomever, you know, looks down on them or maybe yells at them or whatever the case is. They said they're being forced to work overtime. That's what they're being forced to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you think about the whole logic of everything, it's insane. And then you know what they're going to start doing now, or if I think they've already done it. They're going to start busing in SCAB workers and
they
actors.
They already did.
It's a picket line and cause trouble. You know, that's their thing. They don't want to negotiate and be fair to their loyal employees. They give their lives to them so that they can live their luxurious lives. No, they want to have SCABs come in and actors come in and disrupt the picket line. Why? Why? What practical sense does that make? It doesn't make any sense. They think
well,
that
you know what?
Make
again, the other thing that doesn't the other thing that doesn't make any sense to me is when you have a lot of the, I would say both the politicians and the voters, when you take a specific issue and they make the point to say, well, each issue has two sides. Okay, that might be to some degree on a lot of the issues, but on certain things, it's not that I'm telling these people like every single thing Republican that all Republicans do is always bad. But when they put in policies and they show that there are people that are being helped as a result of these policies and nobody's being hurt because of it, that right there is evidence that this is clearly what the people wanted. So, for example, our governor, Whitmer, back in 2021, she announced an executive directive that was intended to make over 200,000 more workers eligible for overtime pay. That was a good move, increased her approval rating by a little bit. She even had minimal high approval rating amongst Republicans by, like, I would say, somewhere between 10 and 20%, which is high for Republicans to give to a Democrat or vice versa. I'm trying to tell Republicans and conservatives, listen, these aren't bad things. This is what people want. People want higher pay. They want to afford health care if they want it. Same thing with younger people and even some older other people getting an education. The stimulus checks, more stimulus checks, in my opinion, would come in handy. And I see that this administration and other state-level Democratic administrations are inching closer and closer to a lot of those policies. And so I'm saying that if the Biden administration continued to express that and really emphasize that, it would make it harder for Republicans to argue it because they have to answer not to Biden, not to Harris, not to Pelosi or any of them. They have to answer to the voters and tell the voters, hey, we're against these policies, and here's why me being against these policies help you. But the reason they can't explain it like that is because they know it's inherently false. They know that most people support these policies, and that's why a lot of Republicans are taking in the polls.
I wish that somebody from any one of the unions in the country would call into the show. There is a lot of labor laws during Trump that were eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not abreast on those. I wish I knew which ones it was. I wish somebody from that is closely involved with the unions and with the labor laws, maybe an attorney that works with the unions collectively, could call in and inform all of us which labor laws were weakened and or completely eliminated. And another thing that the conservative people don't know is that the people are the ones that voted to go on strike. No, there is no mysterious UAW that came to them and tapped them on the shoulder and said, this is what you're going to do, because that is not how it works. That was voted on.
Yes.
It was voted on by its members.
Yes. They wanted to go on strike because they want to be treated like an employee that is of value for the work that they do and the money that they make the company. That's what they want. And that's what they should get. And respect. All of it. So I
you know, there's something else that the average conservative doesn't seem to understand that has never worked in these jobs. There's many of these jobs just tear your body apart.
Yes.
They tear your body apart. Yeah, you made the good money. And then when you retire, you walk around, you ache and you pain. Your joints are all torn apart.
Yes.
Well, by God, you need to be paid for this. You made Mary Barr and the rest of them, and I'm going to keep repeating her name because she seems to be out there, you know, blah, blah, blah. And well, blah, 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 lady. You're the one that's making $20,000 an hour. Nobody's worth that kind of money.
No,
well, you know what? And here's the other thing about it, too. We also have to remember the Biden administration also did a thing back in early 2021. This was one of the first rules that they did, or the first policies, that they gave $15 an hour to federal workers and contractors. Now, we're still pushing to get a $15 minimum wage across the board, but that in and of itself is still a good step forward. And so anybody who is a contractor or a federal worker, or you know of a federal worker that is getting that amount, well, just know that that is a result of the Biden policies. And so that's part of Bidenomics. And so for anybody to sit there and pretend that Bidenomics and Reaganomics are the same thing, and so therefore it's an unpopular name, well, the difference is the result. The only similarity is the suffix at the end of the word and whose name is at the beginning of the word economics. In this particular case, these economics are helping more and more people, whereas the other one appeared to have maybe been helping a small group of people, but ultimately destroying a greater portion. That's why we have to say, if we really continue to emphasize these policies, the average person and a lot of, as you said, the average conservative Republicans, they won't be able to argue this. It won't happen. And at the end of the day, that's why I said, I hope that Gavin Newsom brings up these points when he debates Ron DeSantis next month. And because, well, I mean, there's no way that DeSantis could argue the stuff that Newsom did in California.
I really can't wait for that debate. I have a question to ask everybody. Excuse me. Do any of you think that America can ever become an authoritarian state in our lifetime? Does anyone think about that? I know I do.
I stay up all night thinking about that. I'm afraid.
I would say that.
And you're right on messaging. The Democrats are not messaging enough. They don't have their word out, you know. They're not.
They're getting better.
I don't hear anything. I mean, I listen to you guys and I keep up on the news and everything, but I don't think there's enough. You know, I even see like our Traverse City paper. You know, you see some things, but you can't be too negative or anything. But I am seeing letters to the editor, you know, saying, you know, Biden did this and Biden did that, you know, and the Republicans did nothing, you know, and voted this down and all that. But they got to do more of it. It isn't enough.
Yeah. Yeah. David, what do you think about the do you have a comment for that question?
Yes. You know, I'm 50-50 on that because experts who know Civil War and have written many books and have many talks on Civil Wars say that, you know, we're on the brink of a Civil War because, you know, the extremists on the Republican side, you know, they don't want to accept an election results, and they want to like bring violence to people because they don't agree with them. So I'm 50-50 on the point, really, and I do swear and believe that if Donald Trump and the Republicans get back into power, then this is it for democracy, you know. So I'm leaning towards yes, it's possible we could have an authoritarian war, but what Republicans and conservatives and right-wingers fear are, you know, the thing that liberals don't have guns, or, you know, the thing that can overpower the United States military force, you know, with their militias and what have you, and the neo-Nazi gangs and the hate groups and everything. I mean, this country has gone to the dogs in terms of, you know, the misinformation and the miseducation of people, you know, this cult thing.
Have you seen, I watch Rachel Maddow, and her second book on this subject, Prequel, just came out today, where she follows the thread from the Nazis and the Mussolini and Hitler, how that happened. Is happening here, and she draws a line between the two. And there's more and more books like that from professors, from military people, from, you know, people that know what they're talking about. And it's scary. Mm-hmm. They're trying to put out the warning to the people, but I don't know how much they're listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just taking for granted that, you know, America can never turn a totalitarian state and everything. And we came very close, whether you want to believe it or not, on January 6, 2021, when people in the mm-hmm. House and in the United States Senate didn't want to certify the election. This was a dry run. So imagine 2024, hopefully, you know, good sense prevail and that will bear repeat. You know, I think people have learned from 2021 that if that happened, justice will pursue you and put you behind bars where you belong. You know, we can't have this mm-hmm. thing going on where Trump and his cultists, you know, try to usurp an election and try to change the rules so they win. It's not going to happen. And we're going to fight tooth and nail.
Did you just see? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lori.
I was going to say, and, you know, we have to think about this as well. You know, we have the House of Representatives right now, the Republicans, that are doing everything they can to cause discourse and to, you know, elect a speaker that spoke to Trump the morning of January the 6th. He said in an interview that he spoke to him almost every single day. But he doesn't remember the conversation, though, you know, and he doesn't remember, you know, exactly what they talked about. And did they speak, you know, in the morning, but did they speak later in the day? He doesn't remember. He's got amnesia when it comes to that. And they want to have a speaker that, you know, when he was an assistant wrestler at Ohio State, you know, basically would not report when he had wrestlers come to him and say that they were molested, and he didn't want any part of it. You know, he just mm-hmm. basically shoved it under, you know, swept it under the rug. And they suffered. These young men suffered because of that. And they have also, mm-hmm. you know, made statements saying that he should not be the Speaker of the House. Now, tomorrow, they're going to vote to see if this pervert, this man, this insurrectionist, and that's what I'm going to call him, because I truly believe that he had something to do with the insurrection. He had some planning to do. If he spoke to Trump every day, trust me, to put a man
Jordan.
Like that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jim Jordan
hasn't
passed a single bill. Go ahead.
You're right. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Say it.
Jim Jordan hasn't passed a single bill in 16 years since he's been in Congress. You know, does he sound very effective to me? No. He's just a big mouth, except when it comes to team doctors that molest young players. He covered for the team doctor, like you said, and knew about it according to multiple of the members of the team in Ohio State. They said that many years ago before Jordan even went into politics. And this is the best Republicans can do. They're disgusting people, very disgusting. And I hope they're voted out on this.
The Republican Congress mm-hmm. in Georgia is trying to kick Bonnie Lewis out of office,
mm-hmm.
who's trying,
mm-hmm.
you know, Trump and all those people on the RICO charges. They're trying to get rid of her. The Georgia Republicans are trying to get rid of her.
Of course they're trying to get rid of her, because they know that what they did was illegal. And they can go to prison for it. You better believe that's what they're going to try to do, because they can't win any other way. They're going to be all found guilty.
Well, you know what?
And they know
let me tell you this right here, because I've actually just pulled them back up, because since you mentioned Jim Jordan's name, it reminded me of all the times that – now, to be fair, I'll be honest with you. I was kind of having a little bit fun with this, because I did used to kind of troll Jim Jordan on Twitter for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
I did this a couple years ago.
Good for you.
But – and, of course, he didn't respond to any of it. I know he's a government official, so he doesn't have time to see everybody's comments and responses. But one tweet here says, he said, Obama blamed Bush, Biden blames Trump, it's time for Democrats to start blaming themselves, to which I responded, it's nice to see that you skipped over the part where Trump blamed Obama and Bush blamed Clinton. It's time for you right-wing Republican hacks like you to start blaming yourselves.
Exactly.
And it's so, it's
of
like,
course.
Listen, and
I'm
going to
bring
Jordan,
up something else about Jim Jordan.
The only reason why Jim Jordan is now tweeting a bunch of ridiculous stuff and tweets the stuff that he tweets is only because he's taken the mantle over Trump, because Trump was kicked off of Twitter. And so now the MAGA Republicans felt we need somebody to get back on there and let's cause some trouble and raise our voices and make some noise. And I hear all this talk about, and I haven't followed this part as closely. Maybe somebody else here knows this better than me. I've seen some talk about the MAGA Republicans. They want Jim Jordan to be the speaker. I don't know how likely that is. But, you know, to me, I just tell you this, that at this point, it doesn't matter what Republican they nominate to be their Speaker of the House. And I have to remind Democrats that I didn't respect Kevin McCarthy any more than I respected Jim Jordan or Matt Gaetz.
No.
Because in reality, mm-hmm. it's like Kevin McCarthy is MAGA, and he is a Trump supporter, and he is far right on many things. But I just think they're mad about the fact that he doesn't express it quite in the same way that somebody like a Lauren Boebert or a Marjorie Greene does. So mm-hmm. the thing about it is, I mean, Kevin McCarthy has a horrible record as a congressman too. They had a bill that was going to basically condemn the hate crimes against the Asians, the Asian Americans. Of course, he voted mm-hmm. against that. Of course, he helped Trump spread the lie about Biden stealing the election. He claimed to have made a joke about Trump being a Russian puppet, but then later backtracked it and said, oh, well, I was just kidding about that. He also supported Paul Ryan, tax cuts for the wealthy, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. He backed that. He also backed Trump's outsourcing deals. I'm sure he supported the fact that Trump destroyed the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that defrauded millions of Americans. And so the list goes on and on. When I look at Jim Jordan's record right here, one of them on here he has where he actually said, I have not heard Trump tell a lie. He has never said anything that he has to apologize for. He then continued to push the lie that Biden, of course, stole the elections from Trump. He says that the government is telling everybody that they have to get vaccinated, and he says that he opposes that because vaccines are un-American. Okay, first of all, the government didn't tell anybody that they had to get vaccinated. They recommended it. Of course, a lot of us got it because we didn't want to risk getting the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can argue about how effective the vaccine was. Maybe some people say it did nothing. Some people said it did a lot or a little something. It just depends. He opposed the Affordable Care Act. Let's see. He supports the banning of federal funding to Planned Parenthood. And so when you look along Jim Jordan's record, which may not be quite as long as McCarthy's because I think McCarthy was there longer, they have things that line up with each other and are very similar. And so I tell Democrats, it's not even at this point, it's not even a contest, or it's not, it really doesn't matter at this point. As long as the Republicans have the House, we're screwed on the House. It doesn't matter who their leader is, whether it's McCarthy or Gaetz or Jordan or Green or Boebert. It doesn't matter. The point is, this 15-state strategy that I propose is going to talk a lot to these independent voters and these undecided voters in these many states in the gerrymandered areas that can help make up the difference. All we need is 5 seats to make a majority. I say that this strategy is going to strive us to go for 10 seats, 15, 20 seats mm-hmm. if we can, 50 if we're lucky. So when we look at these people's records, we just have to ask voters, how has any of this helped you? And I'm sure they can't answer that. And that's where I'm at with this.
Eric, there's another thing going on. I think a lot of people do not understand politics. Not politics. They do not understand the structure of government. Social conservative media. Joe Biden is being blamed for the House not having a speaker.
Yeah.
They give blanket statements, and that's it, and the people eat it up. No, we have to explain that the reason there isn't a chairman in the House of Representatives is because it is controlled by the Republicans, and they don't want to do anything about it. They're in a whirlwind. They're in a whirlwind. Looking at one another and wondering, what kind of mischief can we do next? Another thing I would like to bring up to the conservatives, when you rob a bank and you're in the car driving it, you're just as responsible for robbing that bank. Jim Jordan, as far as I am concerned, as a person, and I think just like the conservatives when it comes to children. If you stand by and let a pedophile mess sexually with your children, you are just as bad as the pedophile. So conservatives,
absolutely,
wake up. We do not think any different than you. Jim Jordan was complacent when people were complaining that their children were being messed with sexually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? The other thing about that, too, is, so there's two points I want to bounce off of, and to digress a little bit, again, the conservatives, here's one thing that I really, really hope everybody can understand, and this is where I stand, and I hope most rational-minded people on the left and the right and the center can understand this. Listen, anybody who has kids, or at least kids in their life, or related to anybody with kids in their life, listen, we want safety for children as much as we want safety for everybody else, okay? That's why I'm glad that Massachusetts, along with 8 or 9 other states, did the free school lunch program. You had Marjorie Greene, and again, this is what I would ask, this is what I would say to conservative voters if they bring this up. Marjorie Greene, who stood in front of the Congress last year and told everybody that we're short on baby formula and we need to invest money into, you know, bringing some baby formula and things like that. The Democrats bring a bill to bring us baby formula, and guess who votes against it? Her, along with almost every Republican that is in that House and in the Senate. I ask voters, I'm not trashing anybody, I just want to know genuinely, what do you think of this, and why are you conflicted on this, on who to vote for? The other thing that we have to remember, too, is, you know, this it also goes hand-in-hand with the things that we talked about with the guns. You know, we want gun safety for everybody. Why? A lot of these mass shootings that are going on, which, you know, it's caused by people of many different races, ethnicities, and whatnot. The fact of the matter is it has to stop it. We want what's best for everybody. And
exactly.
To me, I just don't know what – and like you said, Jim Jordan has no answers to anything, and neither does Trump or, like, a lot of these others. There's just no answer coming out of a lot of Republicans, and that's why when they run campaigns on things like national abortion ban – and let's cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. You know, I actually just had a guy at work who's independent but leans more left. You know, he was outraged that Nikki Haley had went up on the debate stage and she said, yeah, we want to cut Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. And he's like, this woman is an absolute idiot. How would she say that? And I said, well, what are you surprised about? I mean, she's a Republican. That's what they all think. Most of them think that way. She just said it probably a little louder than most of them would, but I mean, as far as her believing that, I mean, Ted Cruz said the same thing before. Ted Cruz said that. Mitch McConnell's been advocating for it for a while. I'm sure even the more moderate Republicans like John McCain and Mitt Romney supported that, Bush Cheney. I said, that's a Republican thing. So I'm not surprised that she said that. As a matter of fact, I feel vindicated and glad about the fact that she said it, because now that she has said it, people can't question where she stands on it, and they can't say, oh, I expected her to fight for Social Security. No, she just said she wants to cut your Social Security. So that's why Biden and the Democrats are at least saying, yeah, we want to keep Social Security, and we're looking into expanding it, and we should expand it. So this is what happens when we talk to voters, and just we have to do our best to just kind of help educate them. And like I said, everybody, thanks for supporting me and everything, but literally I can't do this alone. I need every Democratic delegate, activist, pundit, organizer, official, and candidate to join me in this mission. And I'm glad you all are with me on this, because this is the way we could change the future of the country. And again, one more point. Lori, to answer your question about do I see America going into authoritarian mode, the best answer I can give for that is this. I don't know if it's going to go 100% authoritarian. I think worst case scenario is it would go into what's called borderline indirect authoritarian mode, because I think that here's the absolute worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, Trump gets reelected. His vice president is probably either Carrie Lake or Marjorie or whoever. And then let's say you have more MAGA Republicans in the Senate, and then you have more MAGA Republicans taking over the House. And then let's say somebody on the Supreme Court either resigns or they got impeached or they passed away or whatever. Something happened to make that seat vacant. And now they replace that person with a MAGA Republican. And now America is taken over by MAGA. And even though Trump would not be able to have the ability to do every single decision on his own with the stroke of a pen, the fact of the matter is that worst-case scenario, he could be backed by a MAGA Senate and a MAGA House that would support his executive orders, and they would also make legislative decisions, which then he would obviously support. That is the worst thing that I see happening. And to make one more point in regards to what you said about the Biden being blamed for us not having a House Speaker, well, if I was President Biden, this is exactly what I would do. I would stand in front of the entire Republican House, and I would say this. I would say, well, let's look into this. One, I already know that most of you don't support me. You don't support my vice president. You didn't support the last Speaker of the House that we had. That's out the question. We're not going to negotiate or debate about that. You also, first of all, you guys won the 2022 midterms for the House. So you got that. And, of course, Kevin McCarthy was your obvious choice because he was the minority leader when Nancy Pelosi was the House Speaker. So in that regard, you all decided to kick him out. This was Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, all the Trump MAGA Republicans who made this decision that I had nothing to do with. I had nothing to do with this. So, therefore, we're out of a speakership because of you all. I don't support Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy doesn't support me. I had nothing to do with this. Kamala had nothing to do with it. Pelosi, Schumer, Bernie Sanders, none of them had anything to do with this. So by any chance you want to blame me, you can go ahead. I don't know what you're basing that off of. Now, if Biden came out and said that, that would be absolutely amazing. His numbers might actually increase just because of that.
I agree.
His pretty. It's horrible.
In the meantime, we have got to speak for him.
Yes. We do, and we do. His popularity, I don't know if you know, Eric, over the weekend or last week, he had approximately a quarter million donations from people in the country that have never donated to him before. So that says something.
I'm glad
to
hear
I increased
that.
My donation.
Yeah, that says something.
Same here. Lots of give.
It's not a lot, but I increased it.
Well, and again, like I said, you guys, there is so much. And I know that a lot of the voters who are either conservative or independent, they get tired of, as Elaine had pointed out, people are getting tired of, they just hear about Trump. Here's the thing about that. Instead of us only just hitting him with the indictments and the charges, which I think they should continue doing, and if they dig up more, bring that to the table as well. But the thing about it is you had the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which I believe was put in under Obama because I think Elizabeth Warren was one of the leading voices that championed that, which was a really great move on
yes.
that part. And so the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau had returned a lot of money to defrauded Americans, and Trump got there, and I don't know if it was one of his first actions, but he destroyed that. Now, I don't know if the money still stayed in the pockets of the people who were defrauded, or maybe it went back to – who knows what happened with that situation. I think only the people who were affected by it could really answer that. But we have to remind people, I said that happened because of the Trump administration. Now, I don't know if the Biden administration had talked about maybe bringing that back or fixing it. I haven't heard anything, but I think they should. And so we're telling people, I said the reason why we're fighting against Trump is not just because of his racist and sexist and bigoted rhetoric. It's not just because he's under multiple indictments and multiple charges and is possibly on the verge of going to prison. It's also because a lot of the initiatives that his administration took that negatively affected many Americans. At least 9 or 10 million people had lost their health insurance under his administration because they attempted to defraud or to destroy the Affordable Care Act. You know, there were just many things. The reason why a lot of these institutions were negatively affected is because he put people in place that were leading the institutions that they were against. So he put Betsy DeVos in charge of the education department. Betsy DeVos is against public education. He put Scott Pruitt in charge of the Environmental Protection Agency. Scott Pruitt is against environmental protection. He put Steve Mnuchin at the head of the Treasury. Well, guess what? Steve Mnuchin was one of the people that was, I had heard that, I mean, he was complicit in a lot of these financial crooks that were trying to loot the Treasury. He's also the reason why a lot of Asian Americans and African Americans had lost their homes due to foreclosure in places like California. Steve Mnuchin was behind that. And so when we say we're fighting against Trump, it's not just about him by himself. We're also fighting against the potential administration that he would bring back to the White House. I know he would put some of the same people back in there. I know he would still put back Betsy DeVos, Scott Pruitt, Steve Mnuchin. I know he still has Steve Bannon by his side and people like them. And so we're fighting against an entire administration, and we're fighting against another nightmare, a disaster that would be arguably worse than what he did the first 4 years. This is what we have to remind people about.
They keep saying that they're fighting the liberals. Well, we're fighting the conservatives. And it's time
we
put on our boxing gloves and say it like it is. We're fighting the
You know what? One more thing right quick. Elaine, let me respond to that. Let me just say this. Because here's the thing. This is what I try to ask people. And I've debated many conservatives through Messenger, and I haven't gotten too many legit answers on this. But here's one thing I'd recommend to everybody here and to every Democrat and liberal that you know. Next time conservatives sit there and say, oh, we're owning the libs, or we're fighting against liberals, we're fighting against leftism and left-wingers, we're fighting against the Democratic Party. Okay, so my question in response to the people who say that would be, okay, so what is it that you're fighting against? Are you fighting against people having health care? Are you fighting against people wanting an education? Are you fighting against people having higher wages? Are you fighting against the fact that people got stimulus checks that helped them pay their bills and feed their kids? You're fighting against the fact that I want to get more overtime pay because I am working more hours. I said, you said you're fighting against Democratic ideology. Those are the very things that you're saying I'm fighting against. And all the things that you claim that you say you want to fight for, you're also claiming you're saying you're fighting against at the same time. That's what you have to bring up to them and see how they respond to that.
Good argument. I got into a dialogue about Jim Jordan and the pedophile situation, and I pointed out the fact that they wouldn't want their children to be molested, and if he stood back and he was complicit about what was going on, he is no better than the pedophile.
And exactly.
They have nothing to say after that because of the fact they think the same way we do. They want to protect their children, and we've got to keep we just got to keep the narrative going.
Yes. Final question, because we have under 15 minutes left.
Yep.
And, okay, so should the Second Amendment be repealed or updated? Because Donald Trump Jr. Tells his followers to buy AR-15s to defend against Hamas paraglide. You know, that's people coming from the parachutes and shooting Americans if there's an invasion by Hamas and Hezbollah and what have you. I mean, again, the scaremongering. You know, and happy birthday to George Floyd. It was his birthday today, and it was Planned Parenthood's 107th birthday. So Donald Trump Jr., what do you think about that irresponsible remark by him? It's just crazy. Laurie, start.
He's a moron. They have to fix the Second Amendment. It was written in 1776 when they had muzzle loaders, and they needed the militia to protect the government from the British and the Indians. And that's the only reason they said they wanted the Second Amendment. They'll have a heart attack if they know there were AK-47s running around, or 15s or whatever the number is. And, you know, 30 bullet limits to it. It's crazy. It should not. That's a military gun. It should not be owned by a private citizen. No reason.
It's very important to hear what he said. Because this man is as crazy as his father. He went on to say, to the Democrats out there who are constantly trying to ban, you know, 30-round magazines for your AR-15 and the AR-15 themselves, that's why you need those things, he said. That's why you need an AR-15. That's why you need a 30-round mag. He appeared in a video on Monday as part of a series inspired by the title of the book, Triggered, published in 2019. He added, because the people in motorized paragliders come into your home, that's what it's for. Really?
He's a moron.
They need AR-15s because these paragliders are going to just pop into your roof, and they're going to start shooting you. Really? What the hell is wrong with him? Lock him up.
You know what?
There is no Republican Party. It's just a fascist party right now. That's all. That's not conservative. They're not conservatives, you know. They're just fascists. That's it.
He's telling people to kill each other. That's what he's telling people.
Yeah.
Just kill it. Just get your AR-15 and start shooting. That's what they're saying. Really?
Did
well,
you see, there's a glimmer of hope, you know? Did you see on the news that Poland elected a centrist government instead of a far right?
Yes.
You know, like was in Italy, went far right with Mussolini's granddaughter and all that crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Poland had more people turn out for their election ever, and they got a centrist populist government. So that's a little flame of hope there.
That is what's going to happen here in 2024.
I hope to God.
No, it's going to be a blue wave that we've never seen anything like it, because I think there are more sensible, responsible, intelligent people than these stupid morons like Donald Trump Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got to get the women
I
out
know,
there
hopefully.
For the abortion rights and get rid of guns. You know, save their kids, period.
Yeah.
And you know what? If and when Joe Biden is reelected in 2024 and hopefully gets a majority in Congress with the Democratic Party, he can expand the Supreme Court from 9 seats to 15 seats. You know? And, you know, he could do it now, but, you know, the Congress should have a vote on it. And they don't have a solid proof majority in the Senate. And the Republicans, you know, with that two-thirds vote, can override the president. You know, so we just need that majority to get things straight now. We need women's health care in Roe versus Wade. That was a travesty of justice. We need firmer gun control laws. We need better public schools and public education. We need infrastructure where Joe Biden put through that bill and signed into law, an infrastructure bill. We need so much things to do in this country, but Republicans saying no at every turn. And when you ask them what's their alternative, they have no idea. What they say is, oh, no, just trust us, elect us, and you'll see. Their plan is to,
one other
you know.
Thing of hope. I don't know if it was a slip of the tongue. Amy Barrett, the Supreme Court, whatever her name is, she was at a conference. She said that she agrees there should be some regulation, you know, standards that the Supreme Court should have the same as civil standards as all the other judges, top to bottom. She's the first one that came out besides, you know, the lefty ones, but that is a glimmer of hope there. I hope push, you know, Thomas and all the other ones to say, yeah, we got to have regulations. Because that's going to crap, too, the court.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have one last question.
Okay, final word. Oh, go ahead, Laurie.
Yeah. This will be the final word. It's basically a question. Biden is strongly considering a trip to Israel. In your opinion, just say yes or no. Do you think he should go or not go? I'm leaning toward no. Because
I'm afraid for him to go.
I'm afraid for him. That's why I'm leaning towards no. Not because I think he would do a fantastic job, but I'm leaning towards no for his safety. David, what do you think?
I say yes because he has great protection with the Secret Service. And you know, Israel won't want blood, American, U.S. president blood on their hands because that wouldn't be pretty, okay?
Yeah,
and
but Hamas has got all those rockets and stuff. They can hit the, you know, the plane
the
that he's flying in.
You know,
I hope he doesn't go
Trump
on that big white and blue plane that just says, here I am, come and get me.
Yeah, Trump has no testicular fortitude to do what half of Joe Biden done in his presidency. You know, Trump is all talk. I think the president of the United States, Joe Biden, should go, say what's going on ground level, and, you know, do what he's always been doing. He went to Ukraine during the middle of the war. You know, so, you know, he's braver than Trump.
You know, Trump had bone spurs. You know,
I see.
At least Biden served.
Eric, what do you think? Should he go or not go?
I think
he should go.
This is where, again, a little bit half and half. Here's the thing. There's a part of me that says more so no, only in the sense that I agree with what Lori said in terms of the safety aspect. But then the other part of me thinks, well, the benefit of yes is that he goes there to do his due diligence as a president, as a U.S. president, mm-hmm. ensure that, okay, we need to work on a way to implement a little bit more and negotiate a little more peace out there, a peace deal or something that's going to essentially end that war. They need to talk with whoever it is they talk to over there, because like I said, I don't know all the details behind the foreign policy
mm-hmm.
stuff, so there's a lot going on there I'm not sure of.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also
mm-hmm.
the same thing that we need to do with places like Ukraine. We need to get out of Iran, Somalia, Syria, all these places, and the deal with Saudi
mm-hmm.
and Yemen, negotiate a deal with them. If he were to do all those things,
mm-hmm.
then he would be absolutely the best president on foreign policy since Jimmy Carter. So I think
yep.
that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I would say this. It wouldn't, one way or the other, if he goes or not, I'm not going to feel too strongly about it one way or the other. But if he goes, I wouldn't fault him for it. I understand he's doing his job as the president. He's doing what a real president is supposed to be doing. So that's pretty much
mm-hmm.
where I stand
yes.
on that.
Yes.
What do you think,
and that has to be the final word.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should go, you know. Okay,
mm-hmm.
that has to be the final
yeah.
word because we're running out of time. I want to thank
mm-hmm.
Bethany in Flint, Michigan for calling tonight. Susie, Elaine, and
yes,
Eric, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
You can visit www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have merchandise on sale within a month, I promise you. I guarantee it. And we're going to have more bloggers as guest bloggers writing. And we're
mm-hmm.
going to get more blogs out there and more recipes. So we'll thank everybody for listening. Next time we'll
mm-hmm.
be on. It's
thank
Thursday
you,
coming
thank
up. Same time, same place, 9:30
mm-hmm.
p.m. Eastern. 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. This has been Kitchen Politics 123 for Monday, October 15th, 2023. And happy birthday, 86th birthday to my father is in Jamaica. Hope you're
oh,
well. And
happy birthday.
You know, we thank everybody for sharing on social media, and we appreciate the support. And we see you on Thursday. Okay, so I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan, and we'll see everyone on Thursday. Be safe and
good
have
night.
A good evening. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Haven't left behind. Treat it like they're invisible. Folks, my economic plan is about investing in places and people that have been forgotten. It's about making things here in America again. It's about good jobs. It's about the dignity of work. And it's about damn time we're doing it.
Joe Biden is determined to reward hard work. That's why he passed historic laws that rebuild our roads and bridges, invest in our factories, and bring back American manufacturing. Over 12 million jobs have been created. And Joe Biden's building an economy that leaves no city, no town, no American behind.
We're investing in places and people that have been forgotten. They've been invisible. But we haven't forgotten. We're building an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, where no one's going to be left behind.
Joe Biden, a president for all Americans.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
I hear the sound of Brooklyn.
The media said what?
Exposed it all, Lord.
Media said Joe Biden's president. Ha, 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 ha.
Let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God.
Ha, 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 ha.
And strike and strike and strike and strike.
Ha, 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 ha.
And strike until you have victory for every enemy that is aligned against you. Strike and strike and strike and strike and strike. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory.
I ask, oh God, that you would take your iron rod, and I ask that you would smash the clay jar of deceit in America.
And Lord, if it be your will and if it be necessary, another election, another voting day, whatever it takes under your kingdom, oh God.
Smash the delusion, Father, of Joe Biden as our president. He is not.
The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. Bring it all in line. Bring it all in line with the will of God.
Why are you attacking the prophets, the intercessors, the Christians, the positive voices, no matter who they are, even on the media, that are wanting to see Donald Trump reelected? Why are you attacking them?
Could our faith be strong enough to pray for these two individuals that are at the helm of what appears to us to be a great pattern of deceit?
You ought to be attacking the lying media. You ought to be attacking the liars that are wanting to strip our freedoms from this nation.
Certainly of ideology that is anti-Christ, anti-biblical to its core.
And if you think he's speaking in favor of the one that CNN celebrates, if you think he's speaking in alignment with the wicked of this world, if that's where you think God's voice is, then you don't know it.
Let me tell you something. Every Christian, every pastor out there that voted for Joe Biden last night, you have brought a curse upon yourself and your family, your children, and your children's children down to the third and fourth generation, and you need to repent.
We release and commission and dispatch the angels into that place in Pennsylvania and in Michigan. Lord, and in all these states that have yet to be called, Father, that they would not purposely be delayed for the purpose of fraud.
We humble ourselves tonight, Lord God. We ask you in Jesus' name, Father, that you'd forgive us as a people.
They're coming here. They're coming here in the name of Jesus from South America.
Please.
From Africa, from South America, angelic forces, angelic reinforcement.
God, you are pro-life. You be pro-life, son. Jesus. We've played when we should have been praying.
Thank you.
Thank you.